Heyo, welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Breton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. Not today, though.
No.
Today I'm barking, Mike, and there's everybody's favorite cousin, Sikkim Shed. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what's going on. We are back with the latest edition of the Fall Camp Preview Series. Thanks to cousin Lisa, we're doing Georgia first. So I've been deep diving all weekend on these dogs, Shane. Are you feeling like barking?
You know, it's funny. When I see Georgia, I think of some good times and I think of some really, really bad times. You know, I'm not saying I'm upset that they won the fall camp preview draw here, but you know what? The dogs finished on top last year in the SEC. It's only right that we start with them this year. And I am ready, brother, because this is kind of like that. It's like that appetizer before the main meal, right? It seems like after these fall camp previews, we're talking real football. We're going to media days. We're getting this thing, this party started. So I'm ready to get it started with you, cuz.
Oh, and I screwed up already, Shane. It was cousin Janet. My apologies, cousin Janet, of course. Damn. We do a this is basically the cousin Janet show because she donated all the money.
I said $100 more. I'm getting a tattoo of Janet on my right arm. So she was this close. So,
and then here's where things are for next week, Shane. So tomorrow we got Tennessee and we got Ole Miss the next day. But right now this week with the fall camp donations, Mizzou Fan 07's blowing everybody out of the water. So as of today, it's going to be Mizzou, Carolina. And then shout out our buddy cousin Carl Judkins. He's donated the third most. So I don't know what we're going to do. Maybe just Tennessee again. Maybe we'll let Carl pick one. I don't know. But Bama, Oklahoma, LSU, Texas, kind of all in the running there as well. So we'll see where that thing ends by the end of the week.
Yeah, Carl can vote some of these down. You know, I think. Oh, man. But hey, before we get going, cuz, I want to remind the folks we're brought to you by Tennessee Legend Distillery. That's right, man. If you can get up to Smoky, how can you not get up Smoky? Smokies are absolutely gorgeous right now when it's not raining. Swing by Tennessee Legend. Let them know the cousin sent you. Not only will you get a discount, but you will also get a bonus gift. We had some Tennessee cousins in there today, Mike. Every time they get in there, Brian shoots us a text. Let us know, hey, we got a cousin in. So be sure to let them know that you're a fan of the show, and we will be sure to give you a shout-out as well. They got a location in Nashville, and if you can't get to it, if you can't get to Tennessee, that's okay. Tennessee Legend could get to you. Just get to your local package store and say, hey, we got to get this on the show. And we'll get with Brian and make that happen.
All the damn good dogs go to Tennessee Legend, you know?
That's right. It's the only Tennessee thing they like, Mike.
Liquid, and, this is a fair question. Maybe we'll have Shane weigh in. Liquid says, well, what the hell? I gave $100. That was last week. The counter resets every week. So.
Oh, damn. Oh,
well. Stop the count, he's saying.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you what, man, I appreciate everything Liquid does, so maybe we should bump them up a little bit. But I like I said, this is about the dogs. We ain't got we ain't talking about Florida. That's the last thing we need to talk about on this show, Mike.
All right, so as always, a quick recap. What happened last year, of course. We've got, you know, the dogs won again. Wouldn't you know it, Shane? Won the SEC again, 12-2 last season. 7-1 in conference play, won the SEC championship for the third time in four seasons. Remember, they had the overtime thriller at Tennessee. How could you forget? We did a watch party. That was kind of hilarious the way it ended, considering that. A loss to Alabama when that was the game Ty Simpson could not miss, the third down conversions. I think they converted damn near 20 of them in that game. But Georgia bounced back, of course, destroyed Texas. Mighty Texas, Shane. When are people going to learn? I don't know. But they whooped their ass, and then they turned around, revenge game, just absolutely decimated Kalen DeBoering in Alabama in the SEC championship. Probably should have fired DeBoer that the next day. but they'll probably have to delay that till this year. And then, of course, lost to Ole Miss in the Sugar Bowl. Man, what a classic game that was. But that's where things were last year. And then, of course, we got the dog father, Shane Kirby Smart. for my money, the best damn coach in the country. 117 wins, 21 losses, 69 wins in the SEC, just 12 losses. How about that? And, man, he has whooped all of our asses in the Southeastern Conference, basically. Sort of, you know, Alabama still got his number, but everybody else, you know, we're basically, well, I guess you could throw Ole Miss in there as well. But, you know, the rivals he has owned.
Yep.
The SEC East he has owned. And, man, he is, he's been a nightmare for the rest of us.
Yeah, just look up there, man. I mean, Texas, Oklahoma, Georgia, like, hey, you know, welcome to the SEC. This is the big bad bully that they wanted to come in here and punch in the mouth. And have had a little tough time doing that. But you can't argue with the success that Kirby Smart has had. Obviously, an absolute home run hire, especially when you get to the point, Mike, when you get to the point that you're upset on how you lost a college football playoff game, right? That's the conversations we're having. Not how great the season is, not how great the SEC championship is, like, but how we ended up not making it back to Title Town. And that's something that them dogs want to get back to. And I talked to several, man. I don't know if it's because we keep pumping them up, but there's a couple dog fans think, hey, this may be the year that we get back to a natty.
Oh, yeah. That's the expectations.
It's a pretty safe bet, right? I don't know who Sorensen's got money on, but it better be them dogs, right?
I think if they get back there, though, Shane, it'll be a big play on continuity.
Yeah.
Both coordinators back, Mike Bobo on offense, Glenn Schumann on defense. And I just thought this was kind of noteworthy. This is a little new wrinkle here, a little program snapshot dating back to 2020. Georgia has had a top two roster in the country. If you just look at overall talent, every single season dating back to 2020, which is incredible. Now they've had a top 11 most difficult schedule in the country every season aside from 2023. That was that Carson Beck team went undefeated, and then they tripped up in the SEC championship. But every other year they've had a schedule that ranks in the top 11. And most of them, just one of them's number 11. The rest are in the top 10. So very difficult schedules for Georgia.
Help me out on this chart here. I'm having a little tough. I'm seeing a lot of green. Where are you? So what are we looking at here? Just because we're going to see these a few times, I'm sure.
Just overall talent. I mean, I think that is crucial to understand and strength of schedule, how difficult the schedule is. Mm-hmm. But the thing I really want to highlight on the right side of each of these, offensive success rate and defensive success rate under the current coordinator. So Mike Bobo, first year as offensive coordinator, Georgia was number 4 in the country in offensive success rate. So damn near as elite as you can get. But then in 24, Shane, they dropped all the way down to 28th in the country in offensive success rate. Last year, though, big jump back up, top 10 in offensive success rate under Mike Bobo. So 3 years of offensive coordinator Mike Bobo, two of them, we've been top 10 in the country in offensive success rate. So I think that's pretty damn good. But here's where I'm kind of slightly concerned about defensive coordinator Glenn Schumann. First year, he was a co-defensive coordinator. Georgia was number 1 in the country in defensive success rate. That was with Dan Lanning, was co-defensive coordinator. He goes to Oregon, of course, and then it's Schumann and Will Muschamp the next 2 years. They were number 9 in 22, number 29 in 23, and then 24, Georgia dropped to 31 in defensive success rate, and then last year, number 26. So even though they finished strong, they really started slow on the defensive side. So again, is this the end all be all? No, but I think it's nice to have a little snapshot. And again, the darker the green, the more successful. That's what you want to see. If you see any red, that means bad. But course, Georgia literally does not have any bad because they're so damn good. But if it's, you know, lighter green, transparent, whatever you want to call it, that's not as good as a dark, dark green. And you can see in the top, or excuse me, the bottom right, we're not as dark green as we used to be out in Georgia. So I'm not saying Glenn Schumann got to go by any means, but I'm just saying we have seemingly slipped a little bit from being elite. And I think that, again, is that all on him? No, I think it's portal. I think it's NIL. I think it's, you know, I think it's your depth.
Yeah.
Transferring out and your starters going to the NFL every year is probably what's really hurt them. But I think it's worthy of looking at all that.
No, it is. It's trends, right? And I feel like college football's like that. Now, obviously, the game changes. It evolves. And, you know, we talk about the NIL and the portal and the depth and the concerns that Kirby Smart especially has had in this league. So you see numbers like this, it's almost like, but this is the reason, right? It didn't happen this way, but this is why. So it's almost like they're justifying why they got a light green or dark green in this situation. So it is intriguing, but like you said, no red. So that it's tough.
Oh, there's going to be some red for some of these other teams.
Yeah, but not for them dogs, man. It's like you're doing good, but just not as good as you used to.
All right, so offensive returning production. Again, we highlighted this last week. Mm-hmm. Full deep dive if you're interested. We did it all 16. But Georgia, 70% offensive production back from last season. How was that calculated? Passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards, and offensive line snaps back for the Dawgs, number two in the SEC. So I think that is a very good sign. And here's our lead dog, Shane. Of course, Gunnar Stockton, he's back. He had 24 passing touchdowns, just five picks, nearly just under 3,000 passing yards, and completed 70% of his passes. I mean, that is elite. 89% of our rushing is back from last year. That's number one in the SEC with Nate Frazier, Chauncey Bowens, Gunnar Stockton, of course, and Dwight Phillips back for them dogs, Shane. And all of those running backs averaged at least 5 yards per carry. Phillips averaged 6 yards per carry. So, I mean, we're talking highly, highly productive. Now, the big question for Georgia, I think, is receiving yards. 30% receiving is back. That's 13th. In the SEC, London Humphreys is our leading returning receiver, and he had 18 catches, 276 yards, 3 touchdowns. But a strength is going to be that offensive line, Shane, with 61% of the snaps back, number two in the SEC. And we have 4 players back with at least 496 snaps just last season. So, you know, if you're talking Georgia, Kirby Smart, what do you think of when you think offense? You think line of scrimmage and running the football.
Yep.
And that should be 2 outstanding strengths for Georgia this fall.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, you go back to that Georgia-Notre Dame matchup, right? And you could argue that the reason they lost that Notre Dame game was that offensive line. And it's funny because we go to the SEC media days. And I think if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember who it was exactly. One of them Georgia boys, they were saying, my biggest concern, the biggest holdback will be that offensive line. It turns out that was a pretty damn good surprise, right? That was not a weakness as we possibly thought. And now you've got majority of it returning. So, yeah, they're definitely going to be bragging about that come media days down there at Tampa.
All right, so how about on the defensive? Now, again, this is where I'd really be excited, right?
Yeah.
78% of the defensive production from last fall is returning in Athens. That's number one in the Southeastern Conference. Mm-hmm. And you may ask again, so how is this calculated? Tackles for loss, sacks, interceptions, passes defended. These are all the metrics to determine defensive production returning. And, man, we got a lot of good players back on the defensive side of the football. For Kirby Smart and company, Georgia's number one in tackles returning, 72% from last fall. They're number one in tackles for loss returning, 73% of them are back. Passes defended and interceptions, 87% are back. Number one in the Southeastern Conference. And, of course, that's Kirby's baby back there is the defensive back. So, man, there's not any weakness that I'm seeing on Georgia. We'll get to the depth chart here in a minute, but defensive line, linebacker, defensive backs, they should be absolutely loaded this fall.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of the best Kirby football team, what was it, 2020? Was it 2020? Was it 2021? I can't remember exactly what
year. I mean,
year
pick and choose. Yeah. They were
both I don't know. Just grab me a Philadelphia Eagle and tell me that, you know, it was all about the defense. And, you know, we get all excited about, we get enamored by the offense. But I really do think for Georgia to play the football they want, they got to have some continuity. This has got to be the strength and the biggest part of their game. And, my God, buddy, this team's looking pretty tough right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I've been trying to tell you, Shane. Now, here's where maybe they're not so hot, but maybe they don't want to be, Shane. Transfer portal. Ooh, how about this, Shane? So they had only 9 guys transfer in. Mm-hmm. Which is very unusual in college football these days. They had 27 guys transfer out. Now, our friend Rusty Manziel in studio interview, he told us, well, hell, that's because the vast majority of Georgia's resources went to retaining the roster. Mm-hmm. So, again, we're talking SEC champions here, so that it makes sense. But they don't have as many holes as other programs do. And it's very interesting. I don't really understand the rankings, but I am going to share it. On Three's got this as the number 46 transfer class. 24/7 Sports has got this as the 16th transfer class. So, of course, we believe in 24/7 on this episode of the show. But really, I think the difference is On Three subtracts points for guys that left.
Yeah,
I think that's the only difference. I truly don't know, but I would have, that's my assumption. And then again, only 9 transfers in, Shane, and one of them may be lost for the season. So we might really only be down to technically 8 because of defensive lineman Amaris Williams got hurt in the spring. That's why I put him towards the lower end. Otherwise, I think he's a lot bigger impact for the Dogs. But I think Isaiah Cannon, the Georgia Tech transfer, he kind of fits that Kobe Young, Noah Thomas role. Mm-hmm. He's a big-bodied player for them. Khalil Barnes, safety from Clemson. He's actually an Athens native. I think he's going to slide right in there at perhaps starter at nickel. And then they really added a lot of players on a defensive back. Gentry Williams from Oklahoma, he's a big-time player. His issue is he couldn't really stay healthy. Now, if he does here, he's going to have a huge impact. The East Carolina defensive back, Jamarly Riddle, he led ECU in tackles last year. He's a really good player. Defensive back, Braylon Connolly for Southern Cal. Again, you're adding all these guys, 4 defensive backs, and you may not need them all to start. In fact, you probably don't. If all 4 are starting, it's probably an issue, but they provide plenty of outstanding depth and experienced players. And then I think, you know, a little diamond in the rough, Kentucky running back Dante Dowdell. He was pretty solid, I thought, last year for a Kentucky mm-hmm. offense that obviously was not very good. Now, he's another one. We're number 1 in returning rushing performance, so it's not like Georgia's just going to insert him as a starting running back. He's more of a depth piece, but if we're talking, Dante Dowdell is just a depth piece.
Yeah,
I think that gives you an indication of how deep and talented Georgia's backfield is.
Oh yeah, and you throw Bryson Beaver in there. You know, surprised he wasn't from Oregon State. He kind of missed that one, didn't he? But yeah, I would love to have seen some more big bodies here. But
it's just because you like big bodies.
I know. You know, and I just. Listen, I feel like Georgia was, strategic, right? Like you said, they want to keep what they had, which is tough to do these days. I mean, you still lost 27 transfers, but you were able to keep pretty much the core of your offense and your defense, and now you can plug and play maybe some missing pieces here. I mean, the luxury of those Dogs to just go out and get what could possibly help our team, not what's needed for our team. So, I'm not upset with the portal. I know there's some Dog fans that had a wish list going into this thing and they didn't get them, but I think the Dog fans will be okay with how this worked out.
Yeah. And then recruiting, Shane, I mean, come on, it's Georgia, right? Top five recruiting class in the country, number one in the SEC. Mm-hmm. But perhaps this is a sign of the time, Shane. Only one five-star. Georgia's usually getting a ton of these five stars. Now, I think they got damn near 24 stars, so don't cry too bad for Georgia. But, you know, I don't know what that says. Maybe it's NIL. I don't know. But the five-star they did get, Shane, Caden Prothrow, number two tight end in the country. But he might be a little bit more of a receiver. He's 6'5", 216 pounds. So like a lightning-fast tight end or a slow receiver. I don't know what you want to classify that. But Georgia doesn't play a ton of true freshmen.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many of these guys are actually going to play. But, again, you just add a top five class. They're probably disappointed that they only got number five. You know what?
Oh, yeah. That was kind of me in high school, a hybrid, you know? Oh, no. You know, I try to get excited about recruiting, but it's hard when you see 27 kids transfer out. So, you know, but there may be a handful of real talent here that may be able to contribute, maybe not immediately. Right? These may be some November kids, some December kids, that January push that you need. So don't be surprised, because that's one thing that Georgia is really good at, is developing some of this young talent and why they're being poached constantly. So there'll be some of these kids pop for sure.
Yeah, and just one guy I want to shout out, Shane, again. Is he going to come in and play immediately? I don't know. But his name's Justice Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Younger brother of Minka Fitzpatrick, of course, standout Alabama. It's just interesting that, of course, Saban's not there anymore, but if Saban's out, we're going to play for King Kirby. I just, it gets interesting.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so here's my attempt at the offensive depth chart, Shane, and this is like the most brutal part for me, because a lot of it's guessing. It's and the fact that we don't get to see much spring, that hurts it as well. Mm-hmm. But this is my educated guess here, doing as much research as I possibly can to project the starting lineup for Georgia's offense. And does anything stand out to you, Shane? I'm wondering if anything just... You know, I know this is the first one. So if this was like the fifth or sixth or seventh fall camp preview, I think you would get it immediately. But I'm just kind of curious if anything jumps out to you that is unique, you think, to Georgia.
Unique to Georgia? I think Georgia, I think tight ends.
Well, I'm just wondering at this depth chart, as you're looking at it, does anything jump out to you?
Shit, I don't know. Maybe.
Trick question. It's one transfer. That's the thing.
Oh,
highlighted in red, one transfer in the two deep, Shane. This is not just the starting lineup. This is the two deep. So Isaiah Cannon, the Georgia Tech transfer. And like I said, when we get to LSU, it's all going to be, all going to be transfers. It doesn't matter the team. LSU is an outlier, but every single one of these teams, I guarantee you, this is the only fall camp preview I've done so far. There's not going to be a damn one of these that has one transfer in the two deep. Yet that's likely where Georgia goes entering the season. We've got three returning offensive linemen. I think that's huge for the Dogs. So I think right now, offensive line, I think that's the strongest position group on the offense, with Drew Bobo back, Ernest Green at left tackle, Dontrell Glover, freshman All-American left guard, and then Juan Gaston. He's played a ton. He could play right tackle or right guard. We've got depth, Calhoun, Gaston, Jackson, Smith. I think the Dogs are going to be very, very happy with their offensive line this fall.
I'm glad you didn't like wait too much longer, because I was looking at, I was like, I don't know, maybe there's no 80s, which is weird with three receivers, you know. I was trying to find out like the anomaly, but I do see what you're saying here, and it is extremely rare. I mean, this looks similar to like this looks like 8 years ago, 9 years ago, you know, before the portal was really cranking up. So I don't know, man. This another reason.
I just feel like team continuity. Like when you're a transfer, especially when you're one of 50 transfers that come in, it feels like you have to reteach a lot of this stuff. And you know how Kirby runs practices. It just feels like that the bar has been set and the expectations are there. A lot of these kids on this roster got to experience the heartache of getting bounced out by Ole Miss last year. You know, they're going to be bringing that with them into this season.
Mm-hmm. And then one name to know, just last thing on the offensive line, this, I have him as a backup here, but he very well could be a starter. Zakai Helton at mm-hmm. right guard. He started the spring game. He was only a 3-star recruit, Shane, but he had, I don't know if you're familiar with this, it's Crohn's disease. So he developed that during his high school time and he lost 100 pounds.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once they figured that out, I think it's a lot easier to gain weight. And so basically, I think he's one of these, remember in the video game, like you find a gym?
Yeah.
I think Georgia got them a gym in Helton. He may very well start as a true freshman at right guard. Like I said, he started the spring game. So I would not write him off as a potential starter day one. And they got another potentially 5-star true freshman. He was technically a 4-star, but borderline. So they're pretty loaded with depth there on the offensive line. I would say the next best position group behind offensive line, running back with Nate Frazier back. He was third team, all SEC last fall, back as our starting running back. Chauncey Bowens, Dwight Phillips, Bo Walker's back, and then the transfer Dante Dowdell. So, I mean, we legitimately go 5 deep at running back. I don't know that anybody else in the Southeastern Conference, particularly with 4 of those guys back from last fall, I don't know that anybody can go 5 deep at running back. I mean, that's crazy.
So you said lineman, then running back?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. No, I like that. I was just thinking about that kid. Like, what if that's in the video game? You find somebody, you just got to give him medicine, and then all of a sudden he gains 100 pounds. He's an elite athlete. I don't even know what Crohn's is. I'm not making
it. Yeah, I didn't want to go down that rabbit hole. You could Google that on your own time. But shout out. And then I got quarterback next. And it's really just because I don't know what they have behind Gunnar Stockton. Gunnar Stockton, third team All SEC last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he is criminally underrated. But behind him, Ryan Montgomery, they love Ryan's down there. Puglisi's only got 161 career passing yards. Montgomery's got 12, so it's hard to put them any higher up on the list. But I considered it, and that means last but not least, receivers and tight ends with Lawson Lucky as the lone starter back, and he really even split time with Delp there. So, a lot of talent at receiver. They signed a couple 5-stars last year. So in year 2 in the program, they're really going to need those guys like Talon Taylor, Tyler Williams, CJ Wiley, White. They're going to need these guys to really step up and showcase that they can play at an elite level. And then shout out, I think he went viral in the spring game, but the tight end, the Elias Williams, 6'7", 255 pounds. It's kind of like a Shane type tight end there. That Shane loves the big guys.
Yeah. Do you think that upsets dog fans? I mean, it's just, we've had some really, really super talented wide receivers and tight ends come through this program, right? Even under mm-hmm. Kirby Smart. And now you're sitting here like, now what's his name? You know, is this what? And listen, I like defense and running the football, but man, I wonder if them dog fans get a little upset. They ain't got, you know, some like some of these other SEC teams we're going to get to. We're talking all-star rosters.
I don't know. I always forget this because it always blows my mind, but I don't think Georgia has had a 1,000-yard receiver mm-hmm. since like 2006.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. And they've had, I mean, George Pickens, they've had AJ Green. Green may have been before that, but I'm pretty sure he was after. You know what I mean? Like they have had a wealth of talent there. And I mean, no offense to any of these guys, but again, you know, the leading returning receiver had 276 yards. So I don't think it's going to be this year either. You know what?
Yeah. Yeah. But we may be wrong. Mike Bobo may say, you know what? It's part of my contract. I get to play a little bit on offense. No more screens. We're going to these guys.
All right. Now for the defense, Shane. with them dogs. See, here you get a little, you get a little more color here. A couple of transfers here, but again, this was, this will be unique to Georgia that there's only one projected starter on the defensive side that, that is a transfer, as at least as I have it here. And I'm really splitting hairs, Shane. I think dogs watching this are gonna think I'm way off here.
Yeah.
And that's fine, because they're probably right. But I couldn't really tell much of a difference between the defensive line, linebacker, and corner or defensive backs. And usually that means they're all bad. It's because I think they're all good, and I just can't pick them apart. But I'm going to go defensive line because I'm like you. I always lean towards the big uglies.
Yeah,
we got Gabe Harris, Jordan Hall, Xavier McLeod. All these guys have starting experience. They're all back, and one of them may not even start because we got this beast back here named Elijah Griffith, who's a freshman All-American last year. Mm-hmm. Absolutely loaded. They really did a good job stopping the run last season in Athens. And then again, it's unfortunate, but Amaris Williams from Auburn, he would have, you know, played, I think, extensively here, injured in the spring, not officially ruled out for the season, but if he does play, it's probably going to be later in the year. He banged up his knee, and they have not ruled him out. So fingers crossed that he can get back into action. But even with him likely out for most, if not all, the season, I still think the defensive line is going to be our best position group. And then we go linebacker, Shane. Returning starters Raylan Wilson and Quintarius Johnson, two outstanding players, started every game last fall for the Dogs. And then Chris Cole, he didn't start, but all he did was lead the team in sacks. Come on now. Now he's going to start this year for the Dogs, likely. Justin Williams, Zayden Walker, absolutely loaded at linebacker. And then defensive backs. Ooh, man, I mean, these are probably the two best defensive players on the team. So again, I'm putting them this position group last, which that may be crazy that I just said that. But KJ Bolden is one of the best players in the country. Elias Robinson was a freshman All-American. The only knock I give him is, you know, we're adding all these transfers for depth. Right. And that doesn't mean they're bad. It just means that, you know, that I think Kirby wisely saw, you know, we need help here and there. And mm-hmm. they went out and got Caleb Barnes from Clemson, Gentry Williams from Oklahoma, Connolly from Southern Cal, and Riddle from East Carolina. So I think that's still a little bit of a work in progress around our two outstanding All-Americans. And once they put those pieces together, I mean, I think we're looking at one hell of a lineup here for Georgia.
Hell yeah, man. Just, I hate to go back, but the last receiver was Terrence Edwards in 2002. So AJ Green Dang. Was 2002, AJ Green, 2008, but Muhammad got 920 in 2008 as well. So they kind of split there.
We couldn't even get Brock Bowers 1,000 yards.
No, that's it, man. That's just what a crazy stat that is. And he barely got it. It was 1,004 yards. So it's not like he just killed
one
it,
Bobo but. Screen could have wiped that all out. You know what?
Exactly. But hey, about defense, I will say you're right. And one of the things, like, if I'm saying least concerned, more concerned, I would rather have that defensive front, because sometimes a really good defensive front, good linebackers, the Jack Mack and money, you know, that's going to make life easier for those guys as well. So, this is still really good. You know, he went out there, he saw an issue, he fixed it, the little spot, the little blip that they had, and them dog defense looked pretty damn tough.
And then, you know, we've not done this in years past, but I just think in case anybody missed it, and particularly, you know, the Georgia fans that go back and watch these, I think they may appreciate, Shane, a little recap of these Athlon Sports, the anonymous comments here. Oh, wait, sorry, before I do it, because I always, you know, we love kickers and punters on this show.
Oh yeah,
we just, I don't want to just overlook that. But Peyton Woodring, I mean, he's probably the best damn kicker in the country. Shane, his fourth year here, he was a second team All SEC last year, named a semifinalist. He has only missed two kicks the last 2 years. Now, so four total, but two a year is pretty outstanding. And here's the weakness of the team. And again, he's good. Drew Miller, you know, replacing Thorson, who was like one of the best punters of all time. Yeah. So that's the only reason I've called Miller a weakness, but he's punted six times, average 48 yards. So the few times we need a punter, we got that covered too. You know what?
Yeah, sounds like Saban, don't it? You know, like, well, we could really work on our special teams, but yeah, when you don't get a lot of practice because you're scoring touchdowns, it makes it a little tough. But in fact, that's probably the one position that you don't mind a little turnover, because if you see him, things aren't going well. So,
right.
A weakness punter.
So let's rehash these real quick. These were the anonymous coach comments from Athlon. In case you missed it, we did this a couple of weeks ago with Steven. Do they still have the depth that they had in 2020? I think the answer is no. Those backups and third stringers are playing for Missouri and Georgia Tech. I don't know that their process is the same. I don't know that their depth is the same. All those elite programs getting better? Probably not. They have a thinner margin for error. And I think those are fair comments, but I also think you could say that about a lot of teams in this modern era. Mm-hmm. They also added they'll look similar to how they looked last year. I think they'll be a playoff team, but I don't know that they're an elite SEC team like the ones you saw in the 2020s. What they seek to be offensively is don't blow the game. Let's run the ball. Let's let the quarterback get in the rhythm. Their confidence in Gunnar Stockton throwing the ball will determine how aggressive they are. And that's interesting. So that's kind of continues an off-season narrative, right, of people kind of not fully buying into old Gunner and what this offense can be.
Yeah, I mean, we're picking and choosing. And we've seen good Gunner. We've seen really good Gunner. And, you know, we've seen I just feel like when you're talking the ceiling – isn't as high as some of these other guys that we're going to talk about on these other previews, but I do think the floor is probably higher than most. I would say top three, if I'm being honest with you. And I think that's what you got to have in this type of system is a quarterback that doesn't lose you games, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair, Shane. I think that's fair. And speaking of biggest fall camp questions, though, I'm going with that Gunner here. So I have, you know, these are his game logs from last year. And again, I am a big believer in Gunnar Stockton, but what concerns me is the Ole Miss game, you know, where we complete 58% of our passes, 200 yards, one touchdown. You know, that's a big reason why we lost that game. Georgia Tech, 70 passing yards, one touchdown, one interception. That's why that game was closer than it should have been. You know, but then you can flip it the other way, though, and say, well, he dominated Texas ass, 83% completion percentage, 229 yards, four touchdowns. Good night. Well, and then an extra one rushing. So he could play elite of elite. The Alabama loss, he struggled. The Alabama win, he dominated. You know what I mean? Yeah. So a little bit of consistency maybe is what we're lacking here. And aside from that Texas game, well, I guess the Alabama game too, but I think Alabama was just so overmatched. But you know, I think the narrative would have been better if Gunner ended stronger. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, because that you know games like that Ole Miss, you have to blame somebody, right?
Right.
You're not gonna blame a left tackle for missing a block or potentially a tight end dropping a pass, but. You know, it's easy to pick the quarterback. And I feel like that's kind of where Gunner's at is, again, he's not really had that game like some of these quarterbacks have had in this conference. You know, some famous Georgia. When you think about elite Georgia quarterbacks, there's always been like one or two games where they just kind of took over. And I just don't think Gunner has had that yet, even though he's had some really good ball games. I'd like the running capabilities. That's another one. He's if toughness was on this scale, brother, he's at a 99. There's not a tougher quarterback in this league than Gunner. So I would like to see him lean in a little bit more to that to an extent, but we got to have some more balance, and that's with the passing game. So that will be on his shoulders.
And he had 10 rushing touchdowns last year, so don't forget that. I mean, he finds his ways to get into the end zone.
Yeah.
Now, I think as far as fall camp question, Shane, does Georgia still have that championship edge? They haven't won a playoff game in a number of years. Now, again, they're playing some elite teams, right? 2 years ago, Notre Dame went all the way right to the championship. They didn't win it, but that was their opponent. Ole Miss was a blown pass interference away from getting to the national championship too. So it's not like they're losing some schmucks out here, but that's just not the Georgia way. Do they still have that edge? I think that's a fair question. I'm not really doubting them, but I think it's fair to question it.
I think I'm more concerned about running out of gas. It just feels like if you listen, I mean, seriously, just go outside that stadium there in Athens, Georgia, and just get you a lawn chair, and you can hear Kirby Smart getting into these boys all the time. That's what they do. They practice hard. They work hard. They want to be the toughest damn football team every time they have a snap. But on the flip side of that coin, this is a program that seems to kind of sputter out toward the end of the season. And I wonder if this tough nine-game SEC schedule, potential SEC championship, if this is these extras that Georgia has to go through that most teams don't, if that's not catching up to them in the playoffs.
And all right, and then two aspects of the team, Shane, that we've got to get corrected if we're going to win at a high level. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not championship or bust. Like last year wasn't a bust, right? We won the freaking SEC, but I understand disappointment, right? If we're going to go all the way, we got to get more explosive on offense, Shane. And offensive plays of 20 or more yards.
Yeah,
Georgia ranked 55th in the country. And as you get even more explosive, it gets worse.
Yeah.
30 yards or more, plays of 30 yards or more, 73rd in the country. Plays of 40 yards or more, 122nd in the country. Shane, there's only about 130. So, again, point being, they're just not having these explosive plays. Now, again, is that necessarily Georgia's game? No. But when you lose Branch to the NFL, who's going to make these plays? You know, I think that is a massive, massive question for this offense. And then for the defense, Shane, we got to get better pass rush and havoc plays. Mm-hmm. Linebacker Chris Cole, I said he led the Dogs in sacks last year. He had 4.5. That led Georgia, Shane. This is Georgia. It's freaking Georgia here. They were number 107 in the nation. They only had 20 sacks last year. Even worse, tackles for loss, 108th in tackles for loss. So we got to have more havoc plays, got to be getting to the passer. We need some of this young talent to emerge and get after it. If they correct those two things, Shane, I guarantee you, I guarantee you, Georgia's winning it all if we correct those two things.
Hell yeah, man. I like the explosive plays because I think that's what you get so upset about, because when these kids get drafted and you watch them in the NFL, you're like, well, clearly these athletes know how to do explosive plays. Why haven't we put them in a spot to do that? So, I'm all for that. Creating havoc. That's ultimately the recipe for Kirby Smart, is just being tough physical, especially up front, and creating negative plays behind the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, let's get into this is the whole reason Shane's here.
Yes. Let's get them dog hats on.
first win loss toss, right?
Yes.
And try to be as objective as we can here. Games for maybe you're new here. Games Georgia should, without a doubt. I mean, anything can happen, right?
Yes.
But we got to go into here thinking we're going to win this game. There's games, maybe not for Georgia, but for everybody else, that we're probably going to lose this one unless things break our way. And then a pure toss up game. Uh-huh. That's what win-loss toss is. So here's what I came up with. Feel free to tell me I'm a fool, Shane, but here's the win-loss toss for Georgia, in my opinion. Got that little animation, but then
nice.
Let me add it back up. But so I've got 9 games I think should be wins for Georgia. I think these are – I don't think you can debate any of these. Tennessee State, Western Kentucky, at Arkansas – now, maybe if Arkansas didn't have to, maybe if they could play at night, it'd be a different story, according to Hunter Yurecek. Vanderbilt at home, Auburn at home, Florida in Atlanta, Missouri at Carolina, Georgia Tech. Do you disagree with any of those? Any of those, would you have toss up or loss?
No, I think you nailed this one. I think the wins are right. I mean,
and then I have no losses.
Well, Tennessee's not on the schedule, so that makes sense. But but the tosses, and I think you're right as well.
Let me go through them here, Shane. Three tosses. Oklahoma at home, at Alabama, at Ole Miss. Those are my three toss-ups for Georgia.
Yeah, I believe you nailed this one. I mean, a Georgia fan may consider all these, none of these tosses, but let's be honest. There's going to be some tough football games with the non-SEC game schedule, and if I were to pick three that could go another way, those are the three I would pick.
Mm-hmm. Cox a toss.
Ooh.
I think he just wanted to rhyme there is what I think. All right, week by week predictions, Shane.
Yes.
And we try to do these as, you know, Shane goes full red pill.
Yes. All dog, baby.
I be optimistic here. I try to keep it realistic, but optimistic is how I would say it. But I'm not going to waste the folks' time, Shane, on these first two clowns. Get the hell out of here. Georgia's going 2-0, unless something, I mean, just terrible, terrible happens. So Tennessee State and Western Kentucky, easy wins, right?
Easy wins, absolutely.
Okay, and then week three, again, at Arkansas. Who knows what that silver fox got up his sleeve, Shane? Oh, Nelly, I don't know. Could be anything for them dogs. Oh, I meant to do this. Again, I'm a little rusty here. Over under 9.5. 9-1 to win the national championship, plus 320. So not quite 3-1, but not quite 4-1 either to win the SEC. So that's where we're at with that schedule. But
let me ask you before we get going here. You got $100 in your pocket. Uh-huh. I mean, it's got to last you, brother, till the end of the season. How much of that you putting on the over here?
Well, it's got to last me.
All right, we're just talking confidence here.
I got to pay for gas.
No. Times are tough. You live with mom. You don't need gas. You just need bragging rights here. And you got to get this one right. But I'm just, I forget the money. Just 0-100 as far as confidence, they get the over.
Oh, over 9.5?
Yeah.
95.
Okay. All right. So pretty high. All right. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you.
All right. So week three, Shane.
Yes.
Arkansas on the road. We don't know what they're going to be, but I do know one thing, Shane. They're getting their ass hammered. Come on. You're just going to beat them. Any doubt in your mind there?
There is no doubt in my mind. I don't care what time that game's played, brother. That one is going to be queued up nicely. So, yeah, give me a win there. Dogs 3-0 right now.
Now, really, I've mentioned this before, Shane. I think week four, Oklahoma's coming to town.
Yes.
I think this could be the best game in the damn league this year. These are the two teams that I have going to the SEC championship. So, you know, again, it kind of self-explanatory there, what I think of Oklahoma and what I think of Georgia. So, you know, I think it's going to be a tough, tough, hard-fought game. In my mind, the two best defenses in the conference. I think both of them, you can make the case. I don't think Oklahoma's earned that, but you can make the case. You know, John Mateer gets hot. They hit at receiver. They hit at tight end with their portal additions. Offensive line's a year older. They got a lot of talent, bringing back a lot of running backs. They could, if things break right, have a top five offense. But coulda, shoulda, woulda, Shane. Gonna get your ass handed to you. Hey, Athens, come on! Georgia's beating Oklahoma, don't you think?
Yeah, this is going to be a good game, though. You know, this will be one of the best games in September. And, you know, because we'll get to that Sooner preview before long, but this is another team that brings back a lot of talent. So I expect them to be hitting on all cylinders by week four. So, yeah, this could be the first big test for them dogs. And, you know, Georgia rarely loses at home. I there's been some wild stats about home wins and losses with them dogs. If this was over in Norman, maybe we could pull us off an upset here. I'm not saying this is exactly a blowout by no means. This may come down to
one or two possessions, but I'm going to give those possessions to the Georgia Bulldogs.
Hey, defense travels, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, this will be a great game. I think it's when those Georgia fans get rowdy and they get a barking.
Yeah.
You know, kind of, I think they really wanted to do it for Texas the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I think they're going to want to do it to welcome Oklahoma to the SEC. You know, otherwise, yeah. I truly think it's a toss up, but give me Georgia here.
And again, a quick reminder, an asterisk at the bottom of this thing. We are Georgia fans on the preview. This is coming from a Georgia fan. This is optimistically how I think this season is going to play out. Sooner fans are like, wait a second. You said, you know, just keep that in mind. There'll be a Sooner preview before you know it. But right now, this is all about them Dogs. 4-0, baby.
So the next game, Shane, Vanderbilt, the Jared Curtis Bowl.
Oh,
we're going to have to hear about that all week long. That's about all I got, Shane, because they're getting hammered. Come on. Georgia's going to beat Vanderbilt at home. I mean, I think the last time they played them, I think they beat them by about 100.
And it does seem like when the game's personal, especially Vanderbilt, you know, Georgia just gets ready for the game. And I'm not saying they're going to call out the Dogs or anything like that, but, you know, there may be some noise, you know, at least from us. We're going to remind everybody that week where Jared Curtis could have went. So you better believe it may be getting back to that locker room. So that would be the narrative. This could be a very, very ugly football game, Mike.
Any chance that Jared Curtis, you know, I asked Kirby if he can just stay in Athens after the game, just apologize and like, I'll just transfer now.
Listen, text me. That's what they're going to say. Call me after the game.
I just went to Vanderbilt to be in the Nate Bargatze movie. Yeah. That's out. I'm ready to come home. You know what?
There may be some heavy petting on the sideline. You know, you'll catch Kirby. We got to get that lip reading lady out there to see what they say to each other.
Yep. All right, Shane. So the big one, following week at Alabama. And you said, hey, Georgia doesn't lose at home, right?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't last year. this very Alabama team. But you're right. Other than that, they don't lose. So, you know, there's some kind of hex over them Dogs. Now, maybe it's broken.
Yeah.
I believe we both, again, shows what we know. I know I picked Alabama in the SEC championship. I believe you did, too, just due to the recent history. And we saw how that worked. Georgia absolutely dominated the Crimson Tide. Could very well happen again this year. You got to believe that Georgia's going to be the better team on paper. I think they got the better coach. As of right now, I think they got the better quarterback, better defense. Yeah. I mean, I'm not seeing many advantages in this one, Shane, for old Alabama. Sorry, Stephen Up. Give me Alabama upset. I don't even know if it's an upset, but I still think there's a little bit of a hex there. I think Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Who knows, Shane, at this point in time, they might be playing for DeBoer's job down here. This may be the one that saves him.
It's hard to argue. Can you pull up that Kirby Smart again against all SEC teams? This is the one. This is the asterisk I've got out there. It's just because you are correct. 2-8 against Alabama. I mean, look at that. The total domination, pretty much, for the most part, majority of this conference, but they struggle handsomely against Alabama. And yes, there is some, I don't know what you call it. What you call it? Juju? There's just something mojo. On that mojo. Yeah, there's like a voodoo doll that somebody's just, you know, every time Kirby steps on the field, the get back coach can't get him back enough, you know? So I feel like, though, you have said, and many people have said, that this ain't going to be the same Alabama. You know, that this is going to be a better Georgia. And I think them Dogs go into this game every single time with the outlook like we're going to beat them. Sometimes, most of the time they don't. Sometimes they do. And I feel like they do this year, Mike. Georgia will beat Alabama Crimson Tide. So give me another win for them Dogs.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it. It wouldn't surprise me at all, Shane. And I don't want to turn this into an Alabama show, but just the fact Kalen DeBoer, if you look up his record against Kirby, Dan Lanning, Steve Sarkisian, It's outstanding. And then you look up his record against Mike Norvell and Sharon Moore. And he can't beat those guys. I don't get it. But we could talk about that another day. One thing I'm not too worried about, Shane, even though I like Alex Golish, I like the turnaround that we've got, I believe, on the plains this fall. I think Georgia, in fact, I know, they own Auburn's ass. They're going to own them this year, too. I can't see any way Golish and company come into Athens, maybe make it a little bit more competitive. I mean, hell, last year was competitive with dumbass Hugh Freeze as a head coach there for a minute. Remember, Auburn was in complete control that game to the goal line play, but I do think this will be maybe a little bit closer than the experts think.
Yeah,
but I can't in any world consider Auburn is going to beat Georgia this year.
It's a good time. It's a good time to have them, and it's funny because it feels like when we have Auburn real high, this game's not close. Georgia just beats the shit out of them. But when you're counting them out, that's the one that, hey, we're going into the third, fourth quarter, and we're saying, wait, we got ourselves a ball game still. So, yeah, I think Auburn kind of nailed this as far as scheduling. But, man, how great would it be to have a really good football game? I mean, get this rivalry used to be one of the more – entertaining ones on television. Here lately, it seems like it hasn't until last year, but I think it will be closer, but I like the dogs for sure.
Georgia's won 9 in a row over Auburn.
Is it even a rivalry at this point?
Before that streak started, Shane, Georgia had a 1-game lead over Auburn in the all-time series. So it's at 10 now. So man, it's crazy how quickly that can change. You know what?
That's it. As a fan, you're like, we can't let that get too far away. You know, we won't catch it back in my lifetime.
All right. Now the following week, Shane, we get Florida in Atlanta, though. A little twist here. John Sumrall's coming in. I think there's an outstanding shot that he's got them playing much better. I think they do have a good roster. I clearly didn't show it last year with Billy Napier, but I think the coaching upgrade will help. And I do think John Sumrall, he's not going to be one of these Florida coaches that goes 0-for against Georgia. I really don't think. So upset of the year, Shane. Georgia's whooping their ass. But it ain't going to be this year, Shane. Upset is going to be the Florida fans who get themselves hyped up that this is going to be a competitive ball game. Not in year one, maybe year two, year three, year four, but not this year.
Yeah. Hell, Kirby's got his own parking spot over at Mercedes-Benz. You know what I'm saying? So employee of the month, because he ain't losing them damn Florida Gators here. So yes, you got another win here. It could be good. Again, it's that 9-game SEC. It's that, listen, I'm trying to be optimistic, but I realistic see a potential loss or two on this schedule. Okay. Optimistically going in, I don't, but how does that change 4, 5, 6 SEC games in? You know what I'm saying? It could change for anybody.
Well, if you want to talk a loss, it could be the following week, Shane, at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby's got a losing record against them. Ole Miss has fared quite well against them, though, Shane. Of course, the Sugar Bowl and then regular season. I mean, Ole Miss went blow for blow. Mm-hmm. Really, they lost because Trinidad, he had a poor fourth quarter. Now, of course, that's a money quarter, but you could say Trinidad's played Georgia for 8 quarters. He's dominated them for 7. You know what I mean? So I think Ole Miss stands an outstanding shot of beating Georgia once again. Last time they played in Oxford, these two, Ole Miss dominated that one too. So, you know, this is a true toss-up. Like a 51-49 type game, in my opinion. But only one side's got Kirby. Come on, Shane. Pete Golding versus Kirby. Of course, we've seen that before. But that was last year. This is this year.
Yeah.
I think Georgia wins it.
Yeah, this is a team I feel like will always have some other than Alabama. It's the Alabama for me that you know, gives me the kind of going into. Ole Miss, not so much. Now, that may change, right? Trinidad lives up to his hype. Who knows? Ole Miss may be back. And if they are, this may be the toughest game on their schedule. And you definitely would rather have them in Athens because, you could easily lose this thing, right? Because, hell, the last time they were over there, it turned out to a loss. So I feel like them dogs will be all right. So give me Georgia with yet another victory.
Okay, the following week, Shane, haven't played Missouri in a couple of years because of the wonky schedule, but Missouri generally plays Georgia really well. We'll have to wait and see how good Austin Simmons is as a full-time starter in his conference, but if he has the potential, I think, Shane, to kind of unlock a new level in that Missouri offense. If Ahmad Hardy is, you know, if he plays, mm-hmm. you know, this is the time of year I would imagine he will be hitting his peak. So it could be bad news for them dogs, but I think it's going to be bad news for Missouri's defense. Come on, give me the dogs in Athens. Maybe if this was in Columbia mm-hmm. with their new fancy M and the stadium, you know, I think that's going to be a lot better environment. But in Athens, I think that's a little too much to ask for Missouri.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. This is can I see an opportunity for Mizzou? Yes, but more likely, especially a fall camp preview in June, I'm going to give Georgia the nod here.
Ooh, what a surprise.
I sense a theme, Mike.
Yeah, Shane's got everybody going undefeated every year, but we'll see. Carolina, Shane, sneaky Beamer.
Yeah.
We'll have to see Sellers, you know, how good they are this year. Man, I'm a big Beamer fan.
Yeah.
I want Carolina to be good. I think SEC's better when they're good. Gun to my head, Shane.
Yeah.
Is Beamer even the coach here? I think he will be.
Yeah.
But I think there's a shot he's not. You know what I mean? So give me the dogs. I think they win it. But again, night game, Williams-Brice. Some elite teams have tripped up in Williams-Brice. This is not a given either.
Yeah.
For me, it's all about how, you know, if it's a 5-win Carolina, this is going to be easy. If this is an 8 or 9-win Carolina, I'm tempted to pick Carolina even.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I'm not tempted, but I do think that you make an interesting comment. This could be one of those that, you know, he's paying for his job, you know, so maybe mean a little more for them players. And who knows, Georgia at this point, they're sitting pretty, maybe already wrapped up the SEC championship game, looking at a first round bye. And yeah, I mean, do you take your foot off the gas? We always wonder if that's going to happen. I don't think it'll happen with a Kirby Smart football team, but you know, there may be somebody sitting out if they're a little banged up getting ready for that big game. So I like Georgia, but I don't think this is going to be a blowout by no means. There's something between them two coaches, too. It's almost like Coach Stoops, you know. Kirby just, he ain't going to beat them bad. He's going to beat them, but.
And then final game, Georgia Tech. Man, this has been a little bit of a barn burner, Shane. That Tech coach, I think he's a really good coach. He's an alum there, I believe. Brent Key, I think is his name. And he hates Georgia with a passion. So I know a lot of people that hate Georgia, but you can't beat them. You know what? So give me the dogs. But again, this will probably be, if I had to guess, like a 10-point spread, and it'll be a 3-point game. I mean, that seems to be all these. They really should have had them a couple of years ago in that crazy overtime game. But I think it'll be close.
Who's Georgia's running back again?
Frazier?
Yeah, he'll have 200 yards in this game. You remember that? Georgia Tech's like, I don't even know who they are. And he's like, dude, you recruited me. So, yeah, I feel like Georgia's going to put it to him. But, man, I hated this game last year. I hate it when these two teams play. And last thing I want to see is a good Georgia Tech football team. So, yeah, I'd like to see Georgia win big, but – I don't know, man. This could be another close football game here.
Mm-hmm. So how confident are you that Georgia realistically goes? Because 11-1 was hard for me to pick.
Yeah.
I just think that in this new age SEC 9 game, I think it's – I don't know that we'll ever see someone go undefeated.
Yeah, I'm being real with you here. Going into these games, I just – if I were picking week for week which team I think is going to win, I would pick Georgia to go undefeated. Now, will they? Probably not. I feel like there is at least one, if not two games on the schedule that's going to come up and bite them. I feel like there'll be one that you kind of – like an Alabama or an Oklahoma that you're – one of those toss-up games. But don't be surprised if there's not another one that's sitting there in the bushes and sneaks up and bites Georgia. I if I had to pick odds they go undefeated, I would say 45% right now. That's kind of where I'm at. But
that's still pretty high.
Yeah, yeah. No, I feel like it's going to be a great year for them. It's just I can't pick any team, and they'll be favorites in every game. So it's not like I'm doing something that nobody else is talking about. This is going to be a football squad that should win every game, but will they? Probably not.
And then how about, I like to do these too, Shane. Most important game for each team. I got Bama number one, just because the history, that's a not technically a rival, I guess, but I consider it one. I think it's one of the best series in college football right now. At Ole Miss and then Oklahoma. And I know I pumped up Oklahoma. I said this could be game of the year, but for me, it being so early, I think both Oklahoma and Georgia can rebound. So I don't know that game has quite the stakes as those others too. Would you arrange or add or change any of these?
I probably would switch Oklahoma and Ole Miss around just because, you know, you don't want to lose to Oklahoma early because that's when the conversations start, right? I feel like for Georgia to have that mystique, to have that swag that they like to carry down there, they just got to come out and win early. As soon as you show a weakness, then all of a sudden that opens up the last thing that Georgia wants is that glimmer of hope, you know, because I feel like Georgia just wants to come out here and beat the shit out of them. Of course, they all do, but Georgia has the ability to do it. So I would switch Oklahoma and Ole Miss around.
Hey, shout out, Brodo. Shane's expecting him to go undefeated and says 45% chance.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. But I'm telling you, my math is mathing. I just feel like they can win. They're going to be favorites in every game, but odds are they're going to drop one or two.
All right, and then final thing here, and again, I'm not going to ask you national championship for every team.
Mm-hmm.
We usually what we say is playoff, but because we have a different standard in Athens, Shane, confidence scale of 1 to 10, and I even went back and watched last year's, just I don't know if you're interested in your answer, 1 to 10, 1 being low, 10 being high, confidence Georgia wins the national championship. Not as a homer, but just overall, what would you say?
I would say 3.
Oh, would you like to know what you said last year?
Yeah.
7.5.
Oh, shit.
So you have basically cut that in half.
Yeah.
So you're losing confidence in the Dogs.
Not so much that as, you know, you got
as soon as I ask him to take the Georgia hat off, he's...
Yeah. No, it's more about... just the path to get there. I told you, Georgia having to play an SEC championship, you know, take that week off and get, it's just, I don't know. The schedule's just kind of wonky for that. Yeah. And then they jump into a tough football game always, especially when you got some of these Big Ten losers that are playing nobody for 8 weeks. And then all of a sudden they got to, you know, get their starting roster out there. So yeah, that's part of it. And I since in the college football playoffs, Lady Luck's got to be on your side, and either she is or she isn't. And if she's not, then that's going to bring the number down as well. So 3 is a very, very high number for some of the other teams. We're talking about, did you say winning or getting to, right? Winning, right?
I said winning.
Yeah, yeah. So winning.
We're trying to win in Georgia, Shane.
So, yeah, I'm going to stick with
making
this.
The national championship and not winning is a disappointment these days. You know what?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, that's where I'm at, 3.
Okay, I think that's fair. Hey, what a shout out real quick, Shane, all the nice donations. Michael Dunlap, we appreciate you, buddy. Sevos, he says, my dollar for the SEC church basket.
Yeah.
Bazoo Fed, gifted 10 memberships.
Thank you, cuz.
Let's see. I got those right over here. 1 second. And we had Steve It Up. Gifted again. We really appreciate you, Steve It Up.
Hell yeah. Thank you, Cut. Rope Tied.
You're not supposed to say that.
Oh, damn.
On the Georgia. What, yeah. No, it's fine. It's fine. All right. So these are the new cousins, Shade. Cody Barton, Kyle Bennett, Luke McCullum, K.R.O. Farr, Boo Jones, Quick Bane, J.D. Pierce, Bayless So, Marcus Williams, and Cy Robertson.
Welcome to the family.
Courtesy Mizzou Fan number six.
Yeah.
There's old Steven. Oh, no. Mizzou Fan, he gifted 10 more.
Oh!
I didn't catch those. I'm sorry. And then four Steven up. So, we are almost assuredly doing a Missouri preview next week. We're doing it for you, Mizzou Fan 7.
Yes.
But tomorrow, Shane.
Yeah.
Show up a little early because it's Tennessee Day.
Oh!
Thanks to Vol Tiger,
who donated
last week. So we got Tennessee tomorrow.
Yep.
And then the Ole Miss Rebels, thanks to Cousin Fred, on Thursday. Anything else before we hop off?
No. I don't want to ruin the Georgia. Because it seems like every time we go back 3 or 4 years, it's me giving a weight update. And I'm like, I just don't know if I want to do it. But I will. I had another decent week, 2 more pounds down. So 28 pounds down for the month, 58 pounds down total for my heaviest weight. So thank you, Cousins, for all the support. And it was a good week, man.
It's going to disappear at this rate.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. You wait till they come out of the shot to grow hair, man. You ain't going to be able to stop me, man.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Dawgs.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.